You're listening to the Mets Blog Q&A Cast, presented by Citi, your podcast for one-on-one Mets conversations.
What's up, Mets fans? I'm Matt Cerrone. Thanks for listening to the Mets Blog Q&A Cast, presented by Citi, playoff edition, I might add. Mets home runs go a lot further than you think. For every Mets home run hit at Citi Field this season, Citi will donate $2,000 to No Kid Hungry to help fight childhood hunger. Every dollar donated is enough for No Kid Hungry to provide 10 healthy meals for kids. And with the Mets' record-setting season of 112 home runs at Citi Field this year, the program raised over $224,000. That's awesome. To learn more about it, go to Mets.com/Citi. This week, I'm talking to Sean Estes, who used to pitch for the Mets, I want to say 15, 16 years ago. My goodness, I'm old, aren't I? When I say that out loud, it's actually hard to believe, but that's true. It was the early part of last decade. You remember him from the Roger Clemens incident, but he actually had a pretty good stretch with the Mets and a really good career with the Giants, and he's currently doing, he's their studio analyst at Comcast Bay Area, and I figured he's a pitcher, he's pitched in New York, he's watching Bumgarner. Let's get him on to talk a little bit about, you know, Bumgarner as a pitcher, and then also just the Giants as a whole. What's their Achilles heel, and what can the Mets expect from this team on Wednesday, who did not play very well the last couple months of the season, but turned it on right at the absolute last minute. And that scares me as a Mets fan. I don't like that. So let's talk to Sean. Let's get a little sense here of what's going on with the Giants. So with that, let me bring on Sean Estes. Again, you can follow him on Twitter. He's S-E-S-T-E-S-55, Sean Estes55 on Twitter. And also for Comcast Bay Area, let's talk to Sean. So I guess the best place to start, obviously, well, actually, before I get to Bumgarner, there's actually one quick thing. The Giants as a whole, from watching them over these last couple months, I mean, I'm in New York, I'm watching the Mets, it's nip and tuck, every game matters. I'm not paying attention to the West Coast all that much. Tell me what was going on with the Giants these last few months. I mean, what you guys were seeing, what the talk was around the team in terms of how they were playing and, you know, what was going wrong.
Yeah, well, I think that's a great question, because I don't think anybody knew what was going on. There was really not a lot of excuses to be made. You know, there's times during the season, you know, you'll struggle as a team for stretches, a week, maybe 2 weeks. You'll struggle during a time when you're missing a key player to injury. Maybe a pitcher's on the shelf for a while, it thins out your rotation, you're not as strong starting pitching wise, but this Giant team was fully healthy. They had gone into the break with the best record in baseball. Now, they had missed Hunter Pence for a little bit of the time in the second half, but he came back, you know, during the skid, and then they continued to skid. So I think nobody really knew what was going on. I think Bruce Bochy, he's even said it, that it was the most difficult managing job he's ever had to do, especially with the bullpen and navigating through the bullpen and the bullpen issues, because they were blowing a lot of late leads, which they weren't doing in the first half. They weren't hitting for long stretches of time. They weren't getting the big hit with runners in scoring position. Starting pitching was struggling somewhat. Cueto wasn't as good as he was in the first half. Bumgarner wasn't as good as he was in the first half. So Marja really struggled for a time. They went and got Matt Moore, and he was okay, but nothing really was giving them that shot in the arm that they needed. You know, they'd win a game and you think, okay, this is the game that's going to kind of, you know, propel them, you know, to the team that we saw. And it just never happened. They could never really get any momentum going. So I wish there was one reason that you could give for the Giants' struggles in the second half. It just, there wasn't anything. The one thing they did well is they still caught the baseball. I mean, they still played solid defense, but they just couldn't put it together. They were finding a new way to lose, it felt like, every night. And so that becomes, as a team, that starts to get in your head a little bit. You weren't hearing the team talk about it. You know, they were very positive about,
of course,
you know, they felt it was going to turn around, and they always were protecting each other, that no one was ever pointing fingers. I think they just assumed that they eventually would start playing better baseball. And you know what? They did. They started playing really good baseball toward the end of the last week of the season when it counted most.
Well, that is the last thing Mets fans want to hear, because I'm always of the belief it's not who you play, it's when you play them. And so there's, you know,
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, there's two ways to look at that, right? Like, they were playing so poorly, you figure they're obviously a good team. I mean, with Bumgarner and Cueto alone, you know, they're set up in a good spot. So, I mean, I actually think they're in a really good position through the playoffs. As a Mets fan, as a Mets person, I am not looking forward to playing them Wednesday night. I think they're catching them at not, and plus the Mets have been playing really hot, so you figure they're due a little bit of a slide. So it's going to be an interesting game. Tell me a little bit from your perspective, watching Bumgarner every 5 days. You know, I guess what I'm really interested in is sort of what do you think his Achilles heel is? If there's a way for the Mets to approach him, what do you think is the best way to go about it?
Well, he doesn't have many chinks in his armor. Sure. I mean, based on the fact that you could look at stuff this year, maybe down just a tick velocity wise, his cutter slider that he was just his pitch, you know, his go-to pitch in the past hasn't been there for him consistently. It doesn't have as much bite to it as it used to have. And that probably has to do with a little bit of the decline in velocity. I think if he would never admit it, but I think that he's a little worn down, you know, just based on the fact that he's been in the postseason, you know, 3 of the 6 years he's been in the big leagues, or now this is 4 of the 6 years he's been in the big leagues. And those innings take their tolls. He threw the most pitches in baseball this year, you know, as a starting pitcher. You know, those are some of the things that, you know, that you hope to catch a Bumgarner, in a one game playoff. You hope that, you know, maybe those innings have taken their toll. Maybe you don't have you don't get a guy that has his best stuff. With that being said, I've seen this guy pitch every fifth day, and stuff wise, maybe not as electric as we saw it last year or the year before, but he's got a curveball now. He's pitching. He's become a pitcher. He's got a curveball that he uses a lot, keeps hitters off balance with that. He'll throw his changeup more often, and he's, more than anything, he's got, it's the mental part of his game is second to none. There's nobody as strong mentally that I've seen in Major League Baseball. Just the ability that he has to focus on the moment, the ability he has to, like, put all the noise and the chatter of what's going on or around, I mean, just to block it out. And so he's mentally pitched at the biggest stages, and he's risen to the occasion more so than I've ever seen. And so he's the one guy that you don't care how he's throwing at the time. He'll find a way to step up in the biggest moment. And pitching in New York, you know, there's a lot of energy in that ballpark. It's a very hostile environment to pitch in on the road, but if there's one guy that can handle it and actually take his game to another level, it's him. So, and I know a lot of teams said, you know, the Giants, if they can get into the playoffs, are the team that we're worried about because they have the experience. They have Bumgarner. They have Cueto. They have Samardzija, who's throwing the ball extremely well right now. And even Matt Moore, who's been really good as of late. So they're deep in their rotation. So they got to get past Wednesday night, but if they do, I don't think anybody's looking forward to playing this club right now.
Well, plus it's an even year, right? That's always the thing they talk about.
I mean, the media's done a lot of that build-up. Yeah. You know, as a player, it's hard to imagine that's the case.
Yeah.
But it has almost turned into a trend. So I think based on just the expectations and the fact that, you know, you have a good team that you put on a product you put on the field every year that has a chance to go to the playoffs, I think it's coincidental, but at the same time, I think going to the postseason and winning on going all the way to the finish line, it does take its toll for the next year. And so maybe that's why the odd years they've been down.
Well, that's the thing that that was a big topic here in New York, actually. And the Giants were used as an example quite a lot because, you know, the Mets brought up all these young pitchers last year, and they threw an amount of innings that they, you know, had never thrown in their entire lives. I mean, a lot of these guys are pitching, you know, deep into the year. And I think what a lot of fans don't understand is it's not just the innings that they're pitching. It's also then the recovery time, how soon after that you fire it back up for next season. You know, that off time is a little bit less. And you're, it's just a little mentally, it's harder to recover. I mean, the conversations I've had with some of the guys is just, you know, they underestimated just how much emotionally that it you put into it, that you need that little bit of decompression time. And so when you come back that next year so quick, I mean, these guys come back so fast now. There's almost no downtime that it actually is a legitimate thing. And I'm wondering if the Giants talk about that out there. Is that because, I mean, it seemed like that happened. You know, they'd win, and then the next year there was a little bit of a hangover, and then they win and a little bit of a hangover. And so, you know, it must be something to that every other year thing, just from that perspective, I would think.
Yeah, that's definitely true. But you can also use the example of the Yankees, you know, back in the mid-90s. And
they would
run.
Replenish well, though. I was looking at that, and they would actually bring in...
No, you're right. Yeah. You're right. They would go in and get different pieces every year, which was smart. But they had the, you know, financially, they had the ability to go out there and do that. The Giants have pretty much, you know, what they had since 2010 is mainly 12 is the same team you're seeing right now. You know, with a couple different pieces, but and you know, the thing is, there's a lot to that because, you know, like you said, your off season shortened by the time, and I'm talking going all the way, you know, if you're playing all the way through October and into November, sometimes you're done with the World Series, you know, then you got the parade and then you go home. And a lot of times you have some media stuff that you're still doing. So you're still mentally involved with baseball, maybe not as much physically, but still mentally you're dealing with the, you know, with the successes of a World Series. You know, then you go home and it's Thanksgiving, you know, and you take a week off and you enjoy Thanksgiving. And then you get back into the gym and get back into your routine come December, which you're already a month behind because a lot of guys start to work out early November, usually take the month October off. And now you're into Christmas, you know, and as you take a week off, you know, over Christmas and enjoy that. Now you're January, you're a month and a half away from spring training, you know, all of a sudden spring training's on you and you don't really feel like you probably even caught your breath, you know, physically you might be still a little tired coming into spring training and then the season gets to, and then you get to the season and you get that adrenaline of the season, you know, now you're playing real baseball again and may be able to hold your own for a while, but I think it takes its toll in August and September, and more than anything, that's when you start to see some of the pitchers get tired, the arms get tired, they start giving up runs, the bullpen gets a little bit tired. So there's something to that for sure. But you think that you can just replace guys, you know, and they say bullpen guys, you know, you get fresh arms from other teams. Or you can bring some of the young guys up to replenish the bullpens. But then you're done. Now you're dealing with guys that don't have the experience pitching in a stretch run. And, you know, you're dealing with that. Then maybe you have a big injury to somebody like Buster Posey in 2011. Or, you know, they're missing Pagan one of the years, missing Pence last year a lot. You know, so that kind of stuff happens too. And then it's just, you know, the last year and then you – get the whole off season again to pick yourself back up. And then you go have some key additions like the Giants did this past year with Cueto and Samardzija to bolster your rotation. And then you come into spring training and you're like, all right, this is our year, guys. And you start to believe that from the first pitch in spring training, that this is your season. And it develops into kind of a trend. And if they can go all the way this year, you got to start talking about, you know, a little bit of a dynasty here with this club.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's an impressive run. You know, you mentioned Cueto before I let you go. Was there ever any talk about using, now I don't know how things set up, and obviously the Giants were, like the Mets, were fighting tooth and nail there at the end, but was there any talk of using Cueto in this game Wednesday? Because he's had a tremendous last couple months. You know, I mean, was there ever any talk of that? And if not, do you think they might consider using them in relief if they needed to? I mean, is this an all hands on deck thing for the Giants that way?
Yeah. Well, that's interesting because we're going to talk a lot about, on Comcast Bay Area tonight about the roster. And there's going to be some tough decisions that Bochy's going to have to make with this roster, especially, you know, pitching wise. I wouldn't be surprised to see Cueto on the roster. And only reason being is that, you know, he's going to, if you do go into an extra inning situation, he's the guy you want to pitch. You know, he's the one that you want to keep, you know, one run game's over, you know, you're in New York, bottom of the inning, you know, you need to put up that zero as long as you can until your team can break through. Who's that guy you want to do? Who's the long guy that you may want, or, you know, I would say if Bumgarner doesn't go deep into the game, or if he has a short outing, it's going to be difficult to come back as it is, because he's going to probably have to give up a few runs to be taken out of the game. And if Syndergaard's pitching like he can, it's going to be an uphill battle. This isn't a great come from behind team. They don't do a great job. As a matter of fact, they haven't won a game where they've been behind after the eighth inning all year. They're 0-60, I think, something like that, if they're down going into the ninth inning. So, or tied. But you look at it, if Bum doesn't go deep in the game, I don't think they have a chance to win. Unless the Giants all of a sudden turn into, you know, a different team than I've seen. So you gotta look at Cueto being one of those guys they're considering right now. Samars is another one, because he would have pitched yesterday if they had to do the playing game against the Cardinals. He would have been the guy in the bump. So he's fresh. He's also pitched out of the bullpen before when he was with the Cubs. So, and he's got the stuff to go in and shut you down, you know, for 5-6 innings if needed in an extra inning game. I would say he's probably more likely than Cueto, because Cueto dealt with a little bit of a growing strain. The last couple of weeks of the season, he actually missed a start, although he looked really good in his last start. I don't think that's a position they want to put him in physically, coming out of the bullpen and had to heat it up. And plus, his first inning has always been his roughest inning. So he's not ever come out of the bullpen before. So but there was talk about, people did bring it up for, I think, a second about Cueto pitching,
I'm sure,
on Wednesday. But in the media, it was a little bit of a discussion. I actually talked about it quite a bit on one of the shows on Comcast Bay Area. One of the guys was making a case for Cueto, and I just said that I think that Bruce Bochy, you have to look at it this way. If Bruce Bochy loses, you know, this one game, wild card, and he loses it with Cueto, is he going to be able to sleep?
Right.
Is he going to be able to sleep that for the next 4 months? Probably not. But if he uses Bumgarner and loses, he can, because he knows he's going with his horse. He knows he's going with the guy that's done it before. But Cueto definitely has been a better pitcher over the season than Bumgarner has, believe it or not, more consistent. So, you know, there's a case to be made, but nobody's pitching tomorrow night's game other than Madison Bumgarner. And I don't care how he's pitching coming into the game. He's the guy you want, because he's the guy that he has that ability that a lot of players don't, to slow the game down. You know, when it starts to get tough, you get runners on base, you need to make a pitch, he's the guy that does it. And he's got ice in his veins. And so that's the type of guy you want on the bump.
I'm going to be there. I can't. These games always drive me nuts, because on one hand, as a baseball fan, like, you can't ask for better than this. You know, winner go home, these two pitchers on the mound, it's pretty exciting. I mean, it gives you chills. As a fan, though, I'm not going to have any fingernails left, I'm pretty sure. I'm being a nervous wreck. So, but listen, I appreciate your time.
I think early in the game is going to be big.
Yeah,
I always look at first innings as being a big part of the game.
Yeah.
And I'm a little worried about the Mets' power.
I mentioned the Achilles heel earlier. Right, that's the one. I mean, Bumgarner does give up the long ball a little bit. And the Mets, really, it's the only way the Mets score. I mean, I watch them 162 games this year. If they don't hit a home run, they're dead in the water. So,
well, you see the stat about that?
Yeah, right, exactly.
They hit 51-something% of their runs this year have been scored via the home run. And in the National League, that's the most in the history of the National League.
Yep.
Now, the American League has a team in Orioles that have a higher percentage, believe it or not. But the Mets have the highest percentage ever in the history of the National League of runs scored via the home run.
He's going to have them down 0-1 to start every count. I'm very eager to see how they try to counter that, because they're going to take that strike every time. And, you know, it's just going to be the way this game's going to go.
So the Mets are, they take a lot of first pitch.
Well, yeah, they're selective, you know, they're selective looking for the ball to drive. Otherwise they're taking strikes and then they're swinging at off speed stuff. And I've seen, you know, these guys will chew them up, but when they make the connection, they make the connection, you know?
And right. That's the concern, you know, Bumgarner just giving up, you know, there's guys on base. I wouldn't say quite a bit, but he's not going to go out. I mean, although he has struck out the most he has in his whole career this year, he does have the ability to strike you out. He's not pitching for the strikeout. He's pitching for contact. And I envision a pitch to Cespedes, and I don't know, he tries to go in on the fastball and he leaves that over the middle of the plate, or he hangs a cutter or slider trying to go down and in on his back foot and leaves it, you know, middle down where Cespedes' nitro zone is. And I'm just hoping no one's on base when it happens.
Exactly.
You know, so Cespedes is the one guy that really worries me in the Mets lineup. I think Bumgarner will neutralize the lefties, you know, as far as the power that they do possess. I think turning around Reyes and Cabrera is a good thing for the Giants because they're much better hitters from the left side power-wise. So, yeah, I think the lefty is you definitely want a left-hander on the mound against the Mets. But
they got nobody on the bench either to combat that. That's the other thing. I mean, when they lost Flores, that hurt. I mean, their bench is pretty.
Flores was a big blow, yeah for sure.
So I mean, if he
was the one that had the power. He had the numbers against lefties.
If Bumgarner's cruising, if he has a lead, it's gonna be tough. But it's gonna be a great night. I can't wait for it. Thank you so much for coming on and talking with me about it. I appreciate it. Have fun, and you know, hopefully you don't go past this round. I got to be honest, but if you do, good luck. I think the Giants are gonna be a threat.
Yeah, I know. It should be a fun game to watch, and you know, a lot of people don't like this one game thing, but I think it's great theater. I think that if you don't have this, then you're sitting there watching the games on Friday from your couch. So it kept a lot of teams involved for a long time. And I think it's good for baseball. I think it keeps the fan interest there, but it does come down to this, and that's unfortunate, but it'll be great theater tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to it. And thanks for having me on.
Again, that was Sean Estes from Comcast Bay Area. Thanks again for listening to the Mets Blog Q&A cast presented by Citi. It's going to be a huge game. By the time you're listening to this, probably roughly 24 hours, probably within 24 hours of the wild card game at Citi Field, Bumgarner versus Syndergaard. It's going to be an awesome, awesome night of pitching. Can't wait. Hopefully the Mets come out on top. You know, let's just put it blunt. Hopefully I'm back again next week with another Q&A cast. Well, probably either way. If they win, we'll do something about the Cubs. If they lose, we'll do something about the season that was and where things are going. But I think they're going to win. I think it's going to be a good game. And I like the fact that the Mets are home. I think the crowd's going to be crazy. I'm going to be there with two of my buddies that I grew up with as Mets fans. So really excited. Can't wait to get this game started. And I'm going to stop talking so that you can get on with your day and we can get on with this game. So again, thanks for listening. Talk to you again next week. And as always, let's go Mets.
This has been the Mets Blog Q&A cast, presented by Citi, part of the SNY.TV audio network.